The scripture that I chose today is from Isaiah, and I love Isaiah because, you know, Isaiah is where we hear so much of the prophecy of Christ. Like, it meant something to the people at the time, and they could make sense of it at the time, but we see it in past tense, and we see all of this reference to the coming of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to use Isaiah, and then it just so happens to be where your scripture comes from is the repetition of Isaiah. So I love that we can connect them and that Isaiah speaks so much into our Advent season. So my scripture that I'm going to read for you is Isaiah 52, verses 6 through 8, and I am reading from the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, on that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How delightful on the mountains are the feet of one who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen raise their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. God cries out, here I am. Doesn't that sound familiar? Haven't we just heard that in the last few weeks? Verse 6 of our scripture reading this morning, God repeats those words again. Here I am. In the chapters leading up to the one that we read out of today, chapter 52, the people have gone through that whole cycle of human behavior, because we sort of have a cycle, right? Where we fall away, and then we fail, and we can't figure out why we failed. And then we fall to our knees and cry out to God. In chapter 52, it represents God answering those cries, inviting his children to get up from their knees, to dust off the failure and enjoy redemption. Well, a short time ago, we heard those words, God saying, I stretch out to my hands to the people before they even call upon me, saying, here I am. And here he is again saying, here I am. But this time the people are crying out. Now, last Sunday, I think a few of you probably got to go to the combined worship service in at Butler that the Ministerial Alliance did, and Pastor Jeremy spoke about God's name being I Am. And so here today, the downtrodden children hear God's name, I Am, but it is preempted by the word here. Here I am. A little further down in the scripture that we didn't read this morning, but in that same chapter, it says, the Lord will go before you, and God will be your rear guard. In other words, God will pave the way for us, and we'll have our backs. That's kind of something we're famous for saying right now, right? Oh, I got your back. So as we begin the season of Advent and the anticipation of our Savior, Jesus Christ's birth, I find this announcement of God, especially that little bit in verse 12, to be very fitting of what Jesus is for us, the coming Jesus that we're so excited about. Jesus has already come. We know we're getting ready to celebrate his birthday. He came before all creation as well, because in the book of John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christ has come in the very beginning. Christ came again and walked as a human being on earth, fully living a human life filled with love and joy and sorrow and pain and even death. Christ has come before us, just as God said God would do. He has led us literally through his teaching and his words and his actions. He walked through this life and through death, letting us witness that Christ himself defeated death. After he was executed, he raised himself and ascended before the eyes of many, where they could see a fully alive, fully joy-filled Jesus Christ going on to prepare a place for us. Isaiah 52:12 is saying, you don't need to hurry because I'm going on before you. And Jesus did. We have seen it, and therefore we can trust those words in Isaiah 52 that says the Lord goes ahead and also has our backs. The Lord will come along behind. What is it that we proclaim about Christ when we think back to that that creed that we do, that we say that he's gone to the Father, and then we say, from thence he shall come. He is going to come again, being the rear guard, as the NASB calls him. The words give us comfort as we walk through our days on earth. They give us a calling as well. See, our Lord was born in a manger, and we're excited about that part because we love babies. We posted a picture this week, or my sister-in-law posted a picture of our family out here in front of the big wall, and there was all kinds of babies in the picture, and one of the comments was, "Look at all those babies." We love babies. We get so excited about Jesus and what that sweet angelic face must have looked like in that little pile of hay. We want to gaze into his face and think about the newborn king. But being so excited about that baby, it can be easy for us to forget that we are called, that Christ calls us to be the ones moving in this time frame so that when Christ returns and has our backs, that we have prepared the way. Those who announced the coming reign of God in Isaiah's time were called blessed because they did announce the peace that we would know through Christ, the happiness that we would have in salvation that would come from the hand of God as God restores his children. We love the Christ that is born, and we look forward to the one who will come again. But we need to be part of the doing, announcing his return, being those who take the place of Israel. Because there are people still waiting in darkness. Maybe they didn't know, have never heard the word of God, or maybe they ignore it altogether. Some places, some times of our life are the exile of this generation. And for those waiting and longing, what a wonderful sound it is to hear the runner, the feet of those who will bring the word over the mountains. In Jesus, the messenger and the message becomes one. Isaiah describes someone sent with the good news, and Advent calls us to be the ones listening for our marching orders. Today we hear about Isaiah and how he connects us to the mission before us, specifically how the Warfords are answering that mission call. So as we listen to them share about how they have heard the call in their lives, let this be an opportunity not only to ask how can we be a part of their journey, but what can we do? What is God calling us to do in our journey? How can we respond? We won't all be called to travel far, but we are all called. Let us give thanks for the Lord who saves us. Let us prepare for the Lord who is born to lead us. And let us listen for the Lord who calls to us today. Would you pray with me? We'll make this our offertory prayer. God of all good news, you sent your servant to save us, your son to redeem us, and your spirit to send us. In our gratitude, in our thanksgiving, we bring to you offerings as a sign of our praise and our hope. Lord, use whatever we bring today, whether it's our hearts, our funds, our willingness to serve, our ability to carry the message into your community. Bless each and every giver as well as the gift that they bring. Bless the mission. In the name of Christ, our coming King, we pray. Amen. Okay, so here next, I'm going to hand this microphone off. And he's going to lead us in our doxology. So we dust our offering plates. We leave them back there. And we just go ahead and rise and sing our doxology as a blessing over that. And then the rest of the service, I would like to turn over to Matthew. And remind me your first name.
Sarah
Warford. And I'm so excited to hear
that they have to share with us. Thank you, Beth. So we're going to do two things combined into one. So we'll do the doxology. You all know the melody line, I'm sure. There's a paraphrase to Psalm 100 that we'll sing to the tune of the doxology. So let me play for you, let my guitar sing the melody line for you. Thank you.
Okay, scripture today comes from Romans 10, and I'm going to back it up to 8. Paul says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never seen or heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. First of all, thank you everybody that has worked to let us come, Pastor Julie, everyone that worked together to help make this possible for us to come and tell you about our mission. We're so honored to have this time with you today. We are the Warfords. Kids, stand up. We've got Samuel, Emmett, and Nora. We live in Raymore, Missouri. We go to Raintree Community Church. We've been married 16 years, and now we feel called to the mission field.
Yeah. So Matthew and I both had corporate jobs, or have had corporate jobs, for the last 20 or so years. Matthew was an environmental and safety specialist at Bayer Crop Science up by World of Fun. So he did that for close to 15 years. He is now resigned from that role and is full-time missions and also going to school at seminary. I'm still working. I have done marketing. That was my degree. And I went to Pittsburgh State University, which is where I met Miranda. We are friends with Miranda and Jesse Parks and have known them for a long time. Miranda and I met as freshmen in college, and we've been good friends ever since. So I won't tell you how many years that is, but it's been a few. it's been a few. So that's how we're connected and here today. And we would like to not only share what we'll be doing and our mission, but also tell you a little bit about us and our calling.
Yes. So to start with us, please forgive me. I woke up with this in my throat. Usually I don't have this. I grew up in church. I absolutely love church. I love being with the saints. I love hearing the word. I love singing the songs. I love the fellowship, the small groups, everything about church since I was a kid. I never played that card when I was a kid that I'm too sick or oh, mom and dad don't be sleeping. I wanted to go to church. I always wanted to. In fact, when I was a kid, I thought about being a missionary, but I did forget about that when I moved to high school, and you know, life just takes over. So with that in mind, I've always loved the Word. I've always felt like I've had a great prayer life and a good relationship with God. When I moved out of my small town in Kansas and moved to Kansas City, I worked with my grandfather, and with my grandfather, I learned how to be a Christian businessman, how to conduct yourself in public as a Christian. He did heating and cooling. It seemed like he turned every service call into an evangelism call. He'd be sitting at a table with a cup of coffee, somehow, and talking about God when I finish wrapping the job up and come talk to him. He's there evangelizing. It was a beautiful thing. He gave me so many ways to help guide my life and keep me on track, and one of which was to listen to sermons while I drive. And it was one of those sermons. I was listening to Adrian Rogers, you guys might know him, on Bot Radio, and he finished up a powerful sermon, and he had an altar call. And I had said those words, probably a dozen times, and I meant it every time, but something changed that week. I dedicated my life to God then. I bought a new Bible and started reading it every day. I quit playing guitar in bluegrass bands. I started dedicating just my guitar to Christ alone, and I'd like to say that from that moment, if that was my moment of justification, my sanctification has been great, but as you know, there's always ups and downs. But I feel that God has always continually pulled me closer and closer to Him, and I love Him ever the more for it. And I'll catch you up on the rest of it here after.
Yeah, so I also grew up in church. I grew up in Carthage, Missouri, so just down 49, and we were at church when the doors were open. So if the lights were on and the doors were open, we were at church. I was in all sorts of classes, including Bible drill, GAs, just any opportunity, we were there. And because of that, I had a very strong foundation. The Word of God was really impressed upon me and hidden in my heart. So I was baptized in that church. And when I was a teenager, though, once I was able to drive and could get out of the house, I chose not to go to church. So I didn't go for probably a decade or so of my life. I kind of turned my back on the faith and did all the other things that I could instead of following Christ. And that strong foundation that I had, though, was super important, and God was pursuing me that whole time. As I was trying to run away, He was coming after me and pulling me back. When I moved to Kansas City for a job, about a month after I got here, I met Matthew. And one of our first or second dates, he asked me if I wanted to come listen to him play guitar. And I said, sure. And that happened to be at church. So he kind of brought me back to church, and the Lord had been pursuing me the whole time. We dated for about a year and a half, and then we were married. And we now attend Raintree Community Church, like Matthew had mentioned. And that's the first church that we've been in that has had a really strong focus on missions. So our church supports 6 or 7 missionary families, and each month they do a missions-focused Sunday. So we got to hear stories like, kind of like you're going to hear today, our mission calling, and we get to hear what these folks are doing in the field, how we can pray for them, how we can support them, and just all the ways God is working cross-culturally to spread the gospel. And so that really impacted Matthew and I as we were hearing these stories. God was working on us, and through His word and through those messages, we felt God's calling to us. And at first it was just a little nudge, like, okay, this is important, this is something we feel like God is kind of pulling us to do, but we didn't know what that meant, and we didn't know, you know, what the calling could mean for us. We had 3 very small kids at the time, and our initial thoughts were God can't be calling us to cross-cultural missions because we've got a lot of stuff going on, and it felt a little overwhelming, scary. Yeah, and scary.
Yes.
And over time, probably really the last 3 years, God has really moved in our lives and shown us that, of course we can't do it, but He can, and He makes the way. And so that just prompted us to see what it would look like to go into missions, and to see what doors God had opened. So we talked a lot about missions. before we ever explored what missions could look like. And once we started doing that, God just opened all the doors, and he has not closed a door since we stepped forward. It's been an amazing journey so far.
So he's closed doors on mission sending agencies in particular countries, but the active missions has never been closed for us. He's always kept that open. He's just now, it's not like he's closing doors, but he's guiding us with those closed doors now instead of telling us it's not for us, because it absolutely is. He keeps confirming it over and over again.
Yeah. And these pictures, we were officially appointed as missionaries in July. So this is our appointment ceremony and interview. And our mission sending organization is Avant Ministries, which is local to Kansas City. They're in North Kansas City. But that's been a huge blessing for us to partner with them and have them be local as well. We feel just really blessed by them.
Okay, so why Ireland? Okay. Typically, that's our main question, why Ireland? When people think of Ireland, they typically think, well, they're Catholic. Or, don't we have so many good hymns that have come out of Ireland? And indeed, we have. Ireland used to be incredibly strong and passionate about God, but over time, they've fallen away. Let me backtrack just a touch, and let's talk about the flag real quick. The flag represents, the green is the Gaelic and the Catholic tradition, the orange is the Protestant tradition, and the white is peace between the two. Before the country broke, they had a field of blue with a yellow heart on it, and they were called the Land of Music. Now this flag represents what used to be and what they wish would happen again, a united Ireland. As you can see, the top right corner section is called Northern Ireland, and the rest is the Republic of Ireland.
Northern Ireland is part of the UK, and they are predominantly Protestant.
That's right.
But we will serve in the Republic of Ireland, or that south portion of Ireland, which predominantly has no religious affiliation.
Yeah. So when you think of Catholic, that is true. And they're more of a cultural Catholic now than they used to be. The 2022 census asked what denomination you are. They answered, if those that answered Catholic were 60%, which sounds great. But the follow-up question was, are you a participating member of a church? And if so, which one? And then it dropped to 20%. So that's 12% of the country that is actually participating members of the Catholic Church. We're not going to spread the Catholic faith. We're going to spread the Protestant faith. So that is still a viable area for us. And it is so dark. They desperately need the light of the gospel there. While we were looking into Ireland, some facts that we came across was less than 1% are Bible-believing Christians like us. That means they don't add to Scripture, they just read from it and believe it. 50 towns without a church at all. For us, that was astounding. Two people that love the church so much. We looked on Faith Street, it's an index for churches, and in the Butler area, there are 19 churches in the Butler area. 19.
At least, yeah. So I like to keep, we included this picture of Missouri, and you can see how small Ireland actually is. So it's about half the size of Missouri geographically and fits right in there. So then when you think about the fact that there are at least 50 towns with no churches, it even is just even more astounding to me because it's so small. So that's the need. That's why we're going. And so Matthew and I took a survey trip in August, And as we mentioned, we partnered with a mission sending organization called Avant Ministries, and they have been cultivating a relationship with a mission org in Ireland called Calvary Mission. So since before COVID, they've been praying to send missionaries to Ireland. Currently, Avant doesn't have any missionaries in Ireland. We will be the first. There are missionaries in Ireland. We met them, but not with our mission sending organization. So through their partnership with Calvary Mission, Calvary Mission is a church planting organization. So they are Irish-based, Irish-led, and that is our goal, is to plant an Irish, hopefully, Lord willing, in the future, an Irish-run church. So we'll get it started and then hopefully have them take it over and replicate that. Calvary Mission has planted 9 churches in the last 2 decades, and Hope Community Church is their 9th church plant. So you can see all their logos up there on the screen. Hope Community Church is the one that when we move to Ireland, we will serve with them. They'll be our mentors as we get used to the Irish culture, the Irish way of life, get integrated into how all the things are very, very different than here. So these are just pictures from our survey trip, different people that we met and served with in the church. And people we met at Hope Community Church. We already love that church after visiting. And one of the unique things about Hope Community Church is that it's right in the middle of the Republic of Ireland. So on the previous slide where you saw the map with the red dot, that is where that church is located in Longford, Ireland. And that's also where an immigration office is. Ireland has a very high immigration, I don't want to say
rate,
yes. Yeah, high immigration rate. They have visas open for doctors and nurses and engineers. They also are a place that has, a country that has had open doors for a while for refugees to come in. So there's a lot of Ukrainian immigration to Ireland. For safety reasons. They're also coming from Nigeria, India, Africa, South Africa, just lots of different places, either to take these jobs or to survive, yeah, to run from their, for their safety. So in Hope Community Church, the Sunday that we were there, there were about 80 people at church, which is huge for a European church. There were only 3 Irish people. So we really feel so like, yeah.
Look at this, is there's 2 mission fields. So we still have a heart for the Irish, and we want to reach out to the Irish and share the gospel there. But there's also people that God has already called, and they've come and they've found Hope Community Church, and they're already attending there.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel we have 2 fields. 1, finding Irish and bringing the gospel to them, but 2, developing the theology foundations that are there at Hope now. A lot of them are new Christians, or they bring with them their culture-based religion. And we need to set some solid foundations. I went to a couple of Bible studies, 3 Bible studies while we were there, and I realized how little they do know about the Word of God, but their heart is there. They're so passionate about it, and it's beautiful. What do I normally do? I'm already lost. So, the Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. I see that as 2 things. 1, going and telling the gospel, spreading the word. And 2, making disciples, which takes time. So I see that as the 2 fronts that I just spoke about. 1, telling the Irish about Christ, trying to get the word out so the Holy Spirit can work and pull them to Christ. and two, developing disciples of Jesus with the people that are already coming to hope. For we feel that God is already working now, preparing hearts. Like Pastor Julie said, that everyone, we're all called to be on mission or supporting missions. Sarah and I feel called to go. We know that it's not everybody's thing, but we do feel comfortable with this, and we feel that it's our responsibility to do it. With the goal to give a community, a church like you guys have here. God has given me many opportunities and developed many skills that I believe would translate nicely to missions. One being worship leading, two being Bible study leading, evangelism. Between the family and I, we've given away over 250 of these brown Bibles to people, each one with a conversation about Christ. 30 of them given in my very hostile and Christian workspace. And I feel if I can do it there, I can do it anywhere. With a PNP on the line and that type of thing. Now I'm in seminary school, tooling up. Sarah and I are both in leadership roles at church. Not only am I a worship leader, but I'm also a men's ministry leader. She's women's ministry leader. We're small group leaders. We feel that all these tools will work nicely to help make connections and bring people closer to Christ in Ireland.
So as we move to Ireland, we have been just surrounded by people praying for us and being super supportive. We've really felt love and encouraged. And we are already a third of the way towards meeting our financial goal to get there. We, through our mission sending organization, we raise our support to go. And our church will be our sending church and will support us. But we also need other believers to come alongside and support us as well, so that we can go. I mentioned the visa, the immigration issue, and kind of mentioned visa, so I wanted to talk about that really quickly. Matthew and I are not able to get a work visa when we go. That's not an opportunity for us. We will get what's called a minister of religion visa, and that means we can't participate in any of the Irish work, and we can't participate in their healthcare system. So that's part of the reason for raising support, is because of that and that need. We will be full-time working in the church in pastoral type ministry and evangelism.
Capital C Church, the whole church. We're not going to get paid from a church.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, we need to be 100% supported before we can go and get to the field. So that's one of the mission sending requirements, is that we're at 100% support. So we have to do that. And with the support of people like you, we can all advance God's kingdom together.
That's right. So I'd like to paint this mental picture for us all on Judgment Day. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, the elect will be separated from the lost, just as wheat is separated from the weeds. Together we will rejoice as we see souls that were saved because people like you supported missionaries like us who simply shared God's word and helped lead them into a genuine, life-changing faith in Jesus. And we cannot go to Ireland to share the gospel until we're fully supported. We would love to have you walk alongside us as we take the word of God to Ireland.
Yeah. Well, Matthew is getting ready for the closing hymn. We just want to thank you all for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning worship, for letting us have the opportunity to share our mission with you. We will be here after service. We're going to enjoy lunch with you all, and we'd love to discuss missions with you, answer any questions that you have about Ireland, about missions, or anything, really. We have a table in the back there, and then there's also a table in the fellowship hall if you want to grab a flyer or one of those brown Bibles that Matthew held up. We also have several of those, so you can take a look at those and see what that's all about. Thank you very much.